Visiting today with OSU Professor of Ag Economics, Brian Whitaker, and we're talking broadband today because I tell you what, we've got some exciting announcements. Now, you and I talked a couple of months ago, and we weren't really quite sure if we'd get to see all this funding or if we wouldn't or where it would go, but kind of give us an update about where we're at and what we're seeing.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Casey. You're absolutely right. You know, a couple months ago when I gave a broadband presentation, we had some funding that had kind of pilfered down through the American Recovery Plan that's in underway. But just here recently, within the past week, we've had the full passage of the infrastructure bill. And so that's a whole lot more money for broadband. We're talking about in the neighborhood of $65 billion for broadband. And we can walk through what's included in that. But short answer is it's a whole lot of money, not just for the infrastructure piece, for actually laying wire and getting people connected, but for helping people have a connection at their home, paying for their monthly costs of having a subscription. And so that's a nice thing that we're seeing. Really kind of the first time we're seeing a prolonged investment in helping people pay for broadband.
Absolutely. Well, kind of walk us through the numbers and dumb it down for us. Like kind of tell us what all we're looking at and what each one kind of means.
Okay. You may have seen some of the reconnect funds that have already gone out. This is the USDA program. A lot of your listeners might be familiar with. It's been around for a couple of years now, and we have, you know, around $1 billion in reconnect funds that are going out next year in fiscal year 2022. Some of those funds have already been distributed to providers like Hillary Communications, to Western Telephone has gotten a grant from them. So some certainly here in Oklahoma have already benefited from that. The American Recovery Plan has a whole lot of money in state and local fiscal recovery funds. But the caveat there is that can be used for any kind of infrastructure. So it could be water, sewer, it could be any other kind of thing that a county or a state wants to take care of. We do expect a good chunk of that money will go to broadband, at least here in Oklahoma. I'm part of a council that's making a case for that. There's about $250 billion in that whole thing. We're hopeful that a good chunk of it will go to broadband. And then the most recent thing we're seeing here is this infrastructure bill. Again, about $45 billion is going to the infrastructure part of broadband. And then we got about another $15 to $20 billion going towards that adoption piece to help people pay for it, to help get people devices. There's a little bit of a subsidy for people that don't have a laptop or a tablet. We can help get them connected. And then there's some digital equity work to help people learn how to use a computer and how to take advantage of it and learn about telehealth and then getting some digital skills that they need.
So when you say infrastructure, what exactly does that entail?
It could mean anything from literally laying wire under either underground or aerially, which a lot of our cooperatives, you know, string wire across the poles that they have. It can mean building the central offices that are needed to support faster speeds that are being called for. So mostly it's the actual provision of the wire to people's houses. Of course, we have fixed wireless, which is setting up a tower that shoots a signal to a house and doesn't need wire. So it would be, you know, providing and building that tower. But really anything that will help a household get a connection to broadband, whatever technology that might be. There are some satellite companies that can do that too and have gotten some of this money. But really any technology that can provide a broadband connection is eligible.
So how's this going to change things like as far as the internet goes? Because we've, you know, you and I have seen it go from the old school dial-up ways that we used to have to hear that modem ring. And now there's people that are laying fiber and it's just really, really advancing. So what is that going to look like going forward?
Yeah, it's funny. I play that dial-up sound for now for my students. They don't know what that is. You and I suffered through that, right?
That's and fun. I don't want to go back there either.
No, the good thing is, a lot of this money is saying, hey, we're really only going to fund very, very fast connections. So the current definition of broadband, a lot of people think is too slow. It's 25 megabits download and 3 megabits upload. This new legislation, a lot of it is saying we're not going to fund it unless it's 100 download and 20 uploads, which is a lot faster. So we're hopeful we're going to see investments in. And so fiber is one of the technologies that can provide that. Some other technologies can as well. Fixed wireless can do some of that. So we are expecting to see, you know, a pretty significant improvement in what's available, particularly for rural areas that don't have those kind of speeds right now. There was an estimate done a couple years ago on how much it would cost to give the whole country a really, really good fiber connection. And their estimate was around $65, $70 billion. And if you look at what's being put into this at an aggregate level, it's right around that number. So we are
getting close.
Yeah, we are hopeful that a lot of rural areas, and we still have quite a few here in Oklahoma with stuck on a dial-up connection, not dial-up, but DSL, which has speeds of maybe 3 megabits per second download and just very poor connectivity in some parts of the state. We are hopeful this will finally get them into the fiber optic age.
How do they decide who gets to go first with broadband?
So I think they've done a good job with this. They actually, every state is going to get $100 million upfront to figure out who to allocate kind of on their own. And then after that, they have a competitive process that's kind of based on, okay, we need to look at your maps and see how many people you have that are currently suffering with really bad speeds. And then from a national perspective, we're going to allocate the rest of this money. And so the providers themselves will put in applications and say, hey, if you give me X million dollars, we can go serve this many households and this many businesses. And then, the state and the whatever programs overseeing it, which in this case is the FCC, in a lot of cases, they're going to say, okay, this looks like the most competitive proposal we've had, and we're going to award them the funds.
And I know you've done several studies in the past about kind of who has the most needs. What are you seeing there as far as Oklahoma goes?
Well, Oklahoma doesn't rank very well in terms of rural broadband connectivity. We're somewhere in the bottom 10 states in terms of the percentage of our rural residents that have access to an official broadband connection. And so I think we will certainly be competitive for a lot of those funds. And not just from this most recent amount of funding that's available through the infrastructure bill, but through the state and local fiscal recovery funds. I know the state is planning on putting some money themselves into this. And so I really do think this is a great opportunity for us to really boost ourselves out of that bottom 10 and get up to where we need to be competitive with a lot of other states.
How long do these projects usually take? Let's just say we would love to see the whole state of Oklahoma with, really high speed internet. Is that something that you accomplish in 5 years, 10 years, or what does that look like?
I think if you look at the scope of work that's being done right now by a lot of the companies, they're probably going to be doing this. So think about electric cooperatives, think about your rural telephone companies that are going out and trying to do this, that they typically cover a limited area, right? If you think about who electric cooperatives set out to serve, and their plan of work is usually around 5 years. So they say, we're going to service every household in our service area. And it's going to take a 3 to 5 year build out for that. It does obviously vary by the size of their terrain and everything like that. But a 5 year, I think, is reasonable for a fiber network build out. And so that's what we're hoping for. Of course, these funds aren't going to be all distributed in year one. But I certainly think within 5 to 10 years, we could be looking at hopefully universal connectivity.
Well, that's pretty exciting. I mean, 5 years is certainly doable when you think about the impact that it's going to have going forward.
Absolutely. And, a lot of researchers like myself have been kind of documenting what this can mean for rural communities. And so we're very excited about the potential for telework, for telehealth, for raising people's housing values, getting them more civically engaged. There's a whole host of quality of life outcomes that we're excited about what this could potentially bring.
Well, absolutely. And, now the fact that farmers haven't really been able to hook up to the Wi-Fi and do different things in their tractors and their farms, now this is going to, make that a possibility.
Yeah, there's a couple of really cool studies about that out showing that if you increase the number of farm households with good broadband, it can improve their yields, it cuts their costs, they can be more competitive about who they, buy their inputs from. So it's really cool to put some numbers with that and see the kind of impact it can have for ag, for, again, other industries like healthcare, manufacturing. It's really exciting time.
So what are kind of the next steps in these next few months or next year?
Yeah. So within the next year, we just figured out, how much money is coming down the pipe. We kind of have to allocate at the state level, figure out how much of the American Recovery Plan funding we're going to use for broadband. We're working on our own state level map to figure out the most underserved parts of the state and who we want to kind of prioritize. And the tricky part is going to be meshing that with this new infrastructure bill money. So there's a whole lot of money kind of from two different pots and we need to figure out how they mesh together and who we give priority to. And so the next, I would say, year or so is really going to be kind of figuring out that process, figuring out our request for proposals from the state, who's going to run our state level program, handing out the $100 million in the infrastructure bill. And again, kind of allocating that to the providers as they start to put applications in. And I'm hopeful we'll see some, you know, actual construction happening within the year. But it is going to take, you know, some time to get that request for proposals out, have people respond to it, and make sure we're not overbuilding on someone who already is offering broadband service. And all that is built into the kind of language of the legislation.
Well, I know you've been keeping up with this for a long time, so I feel like it's finally got kind of getting exciting.
Yeah, we kind of make a joke about this, you know, in the field that I run in, is we've been making the case for broadband for 5, 10 plus years, and it only took a pandemic to get people to pay attention to us. So that is one positive thing that's come out of this. We're excited to see this amount of funding come to it. And again, I want to emphasize not just the dollars for the infrastructure, but for helping people pay for it. Oklahoma has been pretty good at taking advantage of this program so far. We're in the top 5 in terms of number of households that are subscribing that are eligible for it. So it can provide up to, in Oklahoma, a lot of our households are eligible for $75 a month because they're classified as tribal, because just of the way that the tribal is defined in this particular program. So that's a significant monthly payment that can be erased for a lot of households. And we want to encourage more people to take advantage of it.
Well, where can folks go to see if they can apply for that or if they're eligible?
So that program is called, right now, it's called the Emergency Broadband Benefit. And if you just look that up on the internet, you can find that. I would also encourage you to talk to your local extension office. I've been sending them information probably too much. They're probably sick of hearing from me. You can apply online if you're comfortable doing that. They also have options for doing regular old snail mail or calling someone and having them walk you through the process. So there are some steps to verify your eligibility. Right now, it's kind of an income-based requirement, or if you participate in certain federal programs, you're eligible. And we're working with libraries, too. Your local library should have some information about helping you connect through the Emergency Broadband Benefit. And again, there was a limited pot of money for that initially, but we recently just expanded that pot of money that should last for a whole lot more years now. So we're hopeful this is going to continue for at least 5 to 10 years.
Well, Brian, exciting news. We appreciate you giving us an update.
Yes. Thank you, KC. Appreciate you having me on.